Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast.
I love it! It's crazy!
So glad you could join me. Man, it's been a long time since I've last talked to you, but I've had a lot going on, which I will tell you more about later. And I've also had a cold, and I just didn't really feel like doing a podcast. But being the trooper that I am, today I'm going to give it my 110% Lou Ferrigno all-out effort to give you some podcast excellence.
You're a hero, and we salute you, sir.
Now, I don't have anything big planned today on this show, but I thought I would just kind of make it random and talk about whatever, whenever.
I am thrilled.
So I think I'll start with a listener email, and this comes to us from Greg Skipton, who says, "Hey, Monty, how's it going?"
Oh, is that a good question?
Well, Greg, thanks for asking. And like I told you, I've had a cold for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, and that hasn't been fun. But I think it started back in January when I went down to Houston to work on the Galactic Cowboys album. And when I left Kansas City, it was 30 degrees, and when I got to Houston, it was almost 80. And Ben picked me up in the airport, and I had like a leather jacket on, and he was in his shorts. And he was actually complaining about the heat. And I stayed in Houston for several days, and it was just wonderful weather. But when I left and got back to Kansas City, we were about to have an ice storm. So I don't know if the extreme weather changes had anything to do with me getting a cold, but I've still got it, and it's always a drag to have a cold. But it is not a drag to work on the new Galactic Cowboys CD, because that is going really well. And the last time I was down there, we went through all the songs one by one and worked on the arrangements. And if there was anything that needed changes or rewritten, that's what we did. And there was one song in particular that I rewrote the chorus and changed some of the words and gave it a lot more of a hook, and it ended up being a lot better. And so by the time I left, we had about 15 songs that we now feel really good about. And I'm sure they won't all go on the album. We're going to save some for B-sides or whatever, but we're going to have a lot to pick from.
Songs to torture you by.
Another cool thing that happened while I was down there is that I got to play with my new dual rectifier Mesa Boogie amp.
What is that?
It's actually a guitar head that I use with my bass rig, and it's what I use to get my sound from the Machine Fish album on.
I have no idea what that means.
But I hadn't had one since around 2000 because I loaned it to this guy, and then he ended up stealing it from me. And I'd wanted to get a new one for years, but I never could afford it. But this year when we got signed, I also got an endorsement deal from Mesa Boogie, so I was able to get another one. And oh my god, I plugged that thing in and the sound was just right back again, and I am ready to crush skulls.
I guess that's a good thing.
Another thing I've been doing is working on a bunch of new paintings. I've got about 7 or 8 going all at the same time right now, and they're all kind of ideas for a new Galactic Cowboys either cover or artwork or t-shirt designs or whatever, but they're looking good. And I've really been enjoying this this time. You know, that may sound strange to say, like, what do you mean? You don't enjoy it every time you paint? Well, no. Sometimes I'm just doing it because I have to, or I'm going to make money or something like that, and sometimes it's just kind of a burden. I've got this talent or skill that I feel like I need to use, but this time I've just sat back and just really enjoyed it. I've just been able to take my time and do it at my own pace, and my plan is to eventually have most of these up for sale on my website. Even though probably no one will actually buy them.
It's because they're too expensive.
So anyway, all that to say, I've been really busy. However, I did have time to watch Donald Trump get sworn in as our new president. And if you listened to CNN, they were telling you that it was the worst speech in history. But I personally thought it was awesome, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And if you didn't see it, well, let me tell you, he starts out by thanking Barack and Michelle for their graciousness. And they're sitting right there by him with Clinton and Bush and Carter. And then Trump just proceeded to verbally destroy each and every one of them. And all he was basically saying was that we're going to take the power away from all these imbeciles that have been running things and give it back to you, the people. And unlike Obama, who was always like, I'm going to do this and I did that, this was all about you, the people. And somehow that was very offensive.
It's an outrage.
But my favorite part of the whole thing was at the end when the Obamas were walking out of there on their way to the helicopter to leave. And they just looked like two sad puppies who had just had the shit beat out of them with a newspaper.
It's been a long time coming.
So we'll see what happens in the future. I know a lot of people hate Trump, but I'm going to give him a chance, and I like the guy so far. He seems like a hard worker, and he takes no crap from anyone.
Change has come to America.
Okay, on the last episode, I don't think I read one single top 10 list from you guys, and so I'm going to make up for it today. And the first one comes from our old friend, Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And of course, David won the top 10 playoffs last year. And so let's see what he's got this year. And it appears he has sent me his top 10 favorite albums of 2016. But of course, David can't just send me 10, he's got to send me about 15 extra honorable mentions, which I will not read. But his top 10 list I will read, and it starts at number 10 with Dogs of Peace by Heal.
What the hell is that?
Number 9 is The Legal Matters, Conrad, and I'm not sure which one of those is the band. But number 8 is Tremonti with Dust. Number 7 is Alter Bridge with The Last Hero. Number 6 is Polyphia by Renaissance. Number 5 is Animals as Leaders with their CD The Madness of Many.
Okay.
Number 4 is Metallica with Hardwired. Number 3, Avant-Garde Dog, their self-titled album.
Huh?
Number 2 is Megadeth with Dystopia. And David's number 1 favorite album of the year is Tiles, Pretending to Run. So there you go, David's very interesting list. But he also had a question for me. And he says, hey Monty, I know you recently played Billy Talent on the Rockcast. Did you know that on the second disc of the 40th anniversary edition of Rush's 2112, they cover the song A Passage to Bangkok? Well, no, David, I did not know about that album until you told me. But since I was a big Rush fan back when they did 2112, I went and got it, and I've been listening to it a little bit, and let's check it out. It's got several cover tunes on here by different artists, including Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins, who did Overture. It has Steven Wilson doing the Twilight Zone, which, you know, I never really cared for that song that much, but he does it. And Alice in Chains doing Tears. I thought this was good. Alice in Chains has those great vocal harmonies. But this next tune, I'll be honest, I did not like this at all. It's by a guy named Jacob Moon, and he does a cover of Something for Nothing. Now, I'm sure Jacob Moon is a talented guy, but I hated what he did to that song. He turned it into some kind of bluesy thing and just took all the balls right out of it. And I had to think back to when I was like 17, 18 years old, standing in my bedroom doing air guitar to this song, and it kicked ass back then. And here's what it's supposed to sound like.
What you own is your own kingdom. What you do is your own glory. What you love is your own power. What you live is your own story. In your head is the answer that will guide you along. Let your heart be the anchor and the beat of your soul.
Okay, so everything on this Rush Anniversary CD isn't great like that. In fact, there's a big Neil Peart drum solo on here that I could have done without. But I did actually love Billy Talent's version of Passage to Bangkok. So thanks to Mr. David Whiteman for turning me on to that, and I think I'll play it for you now.
Our first stop is in Bogota.
Train!
So I've got two cats now. Have I mentioned this before?
I'll admit I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, so we had Mr. Kitty, who's just a complete a-hole. But then the wife and the kids wanted to adopt this rescue kitty, and I finally caved. And at first, the two cats weren't getting along, but then we figured out, oh no, they don't hate each other, they just hate us. And this new kitty is even worse than Mr. K. She will have nothing to do with any of us. And so one day I was talking to my buddy Paul Morgan on Facebook, and he said, well, listen, if you're having trouble with your cats, maybe you should watch this show, My Cat from Hell. It's got this guy on there that goes around to different houses, and he'll go in and help these people with unruly cats. And so I taped a bunch of episodes, and we started watching it. And as it turns out, it's usually the cat owners who are the real problem. I mean, some of these people are just real nut jobs when it comes to their pets. Like, I don't know how many I've seen so far where the woman will go, listen, if it's between the cat or my husband, he can go. I'm not giving up my cat. And I gotta think, if your partner is willing to give up you instead of the cat, perhaps Fifi scratching your eyes out is not your biggest problem.
Yeah!
I mean, come on, dude. You're either with the wrong person or you're kind of lame yourself.
What a pussy.
But I've actually learned a lot from watching My Cat from Hell. And the biggest thing I've learned is that in order to have a healthy, happy kitty, you basically just have to turn the entire house over to them. And that seems to be the case in my situation, so apparently we're on the right track.
Good for you, buddy.
Now, another thing I've been watching is The Celebrity Apprentice. And, of course, it used to have Donald Trump on there, but now that he's president, they had to go get Arnold Schwarzenegger as the host. And I still like the show. I mean, they had people on this season like Vince Neil from Motley Crue. But overall, I'd have to say it's just not as good. And the main reason is because of Arnold. It's like he's trying to be Trump in some ways, but at the same time just being way over the top Arnold. It's like he'll have them all in the boardroom and he'll just start going off.
When we're in here, you will refer to me as the governor. Because as you know, I was the governor of California. And I look at you and you don't have any passion. When I used to be a bodybuilder, I would be in the gym for hours and hours. And I had these huge, gigantic muscles.
And then, of course, instead of saying you're fired like Trump did, he always ends it by saying, you're terminated. Now go get in the chopper.
I've never seen anything as bad as this.
So it's a little cliche at times, but I guess if there's nothing else on, it was worth watching.
Pretty good, yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
And, of course, there was the Super Bowl. I guess we all watched that, huh? Well, I guess everybody except my wife. She had no interest in it whatsoever. And it was actually a really good game this year, and I could not believe the Falcons blew that lead. And I really honestly felt so sorry for their fans. It just looked like they had the game wrapped up, and then they just blew it, and once again the Patriots won. And I tell Lindsay, wow, this game's in overtime, and looks like New England's gonna come all the way back and win it here in just a few seconds. And she's like, yeah, whatever, not interested, gotta go. But hey, that's okay, she doesn't like football, you know, a lot of women don't. I don't really like horror movies, and she does. So what we do is just try to find stuff that we both like. And what we found recently was this thing on the Game Show Network, which is the Newlywed Game. And what we do is I tape a bunch of episodes, and then at night, right before we go to sleep, we'll sit there and watch them on the DVR. And when they ask the questions, I will pause it, and then we see if we can match our answers. And it's really been a lot of fun. It kind of gives you a chance for you and your wife to see how well you know each other, and you even find out a few things you didn't before. For instance, I did not know that if Lindsay was going to nickname my package after a country singer, it would be Girth Brooks.
Whoa!
And I was fine with that, but I was a little disappointed she didn't go with Waylon Jennings instead.
No, I don't think so.
However, it could have been worse. She could have gone with Billy Ray Sideways. Nor how about Conway Tiny?
That sounds about right.
Now, something I don't really watch, but I ran onto as I was channel surfing the other night, is the X Games. And this is something that ESPN will show when there's absolutely nothing else going on. In other words, football season is over and baseball hasn't quite started yet. Let's show some X Games. And I happened to catch this interview with these two snowboarders. And you can just tell they're complete stoners, but at the same time, they're professional athletes.
Right.
And one of them was like, well, dude, I didn't win, but it's okay, man. Because, like, there's snow.
All right.
Anyway, all that to say, sometimes there's just not that much on TV. And I've actually got one of those smart TVs, even though I'm not that smart. And the other day I turn it on and I notice there's this thing on there that says YouTube. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, hey, I could be going on YouTube on my TV and watching concerts in HD.
Duh!
And so I start doing searches for live shows of my favorite bands, and I just find tons of stuff. And so I've just been wasting hours and hours watching shows all the time. And I don't mean just fan bootleg stuff. I mean professionally shot, multi-camera, big festival shows, just a ton of crap. And just in one weekend, I watched a Testament show from a festival in Europe. And by the way, Alex Skolnick is incredible. And I also watched a couple of Rammstein shows. I watched one of Volbeat, and I even watched a Tenacious D concert. And so you can find virtually anything, and while you're searching for your favorite bands, you might want to check out some Ghost. They are such a great live band, they're just great players, and they put on a great visual show. And I'm actually going to get to see them again in July. They're opening for Iron Maiden. I've already got my tickets, and I cannot wait. And I really think a lot of you older guys that listen to my show would like them because they're kind of retro in a way. They remind me of some of those 70s bands I used to love, like Angel and Blue Oyster Cult. And, well, let's just hear a little bit of it now. So that's Ghost, and if you're into that 70s vibe, I'm sure you're like me and you've always been into Thin Lizzy. If so, you might really like the new CD from Black Star Riders. Of course, it's got former members of Thin Lizzy, and I'm always curious to see what they're gonna do, and so I checked it out and I thought you might be curious too. Here's a song called Dancing with the Wrong Girl.
The natural rain, I feel the rain.
course, there will never be another Thin Lizzy because there will never be another Phil Lynott. And all the songs on this album aren't great, but a lot of it's pretty fun. It's just your basic straight-ahead rock and roll kind of stuff, and there's some really good guitar solos. So the other day, I'm having this conversation with my wife, and I'm like, "You are so beautiful." She's like, "Ah, you think?" And I'm like, "Oh man, you are incredible. You are so hot, you could do porn. Not that you would, but you could." And I'm just going on and on about how stunning she is, when all of a sudden she says, "You know who I think is hot?" And I say, "Well, I don't know. Who?" And she says, "Spencer, the singer for Ice Nine Kills."
Dope!
And I'm like, really? And she's like, "Yeah, I've kind of got a thing for him." And I'm like, is that right? And she's like, "Yeah, I like the way he dresses and his hair is so cool. And he writes such incredible lyrics." And I got to be honest, I was a little upset by this. Because after all, his hair is short and mine is long. And I don't ever recall her mentioning my lyrics being all that great. And so a few days later, I'm still ticked off about it, and I make some crack about, "Well, you know, I'm no Spencer." And she says, "Oh, come on, don't be upset. It's really no different than when you were in high school and college, and you had pictures of girls on your bedroom wall." And so I thought about it, and fair enough. So here now is a list of my top 10 favorite hot chicks from the 70s and 80s who I had a thing for.
I see what you're doing.
And starting at number 10, it's Maureen McCormick, also known as Marcia Brady.
Sexy!
Yeah, I never missed a Brady Bunch, and even though I was only about 14, I would have left my parents for her. However, some women get better with age and others get worse. And I saw her last season on Dancing with the Stars, and she is just a mess. And I don't mean a hot mess. I just mean a mess.
Bonkers, cuckoo, nutcase.
She just seems like a big emotional lunatic now, but hey, I liked her on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, you did.
Number 9 on my list is Tawny Katain. I was like any other guy in the 80s. I just bought my first VCR, and I suddenly had the power to pause and freeze frame. And so naturally, I recorded all of the Whitesnake videos off of MTV. And we didn't know who she was, but there she was, sliding around on the hood of David Coverdale's car. And I cannot swear to this, but I'm pretty sure that one day as I was going through one of those videos in slow motion, I saw something for about a half a second that kind of resembled a blurry nipple.
Oh, yeah!
Number 8 is Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles. And I used to refer to her as Susanna Hotz. And if you're a guy, I think you remember the Walk Like an Egyptian video where they zoom in on her eyes and she kind of looks from side to side. Uh-huh.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Now, I don't know if you'll remember this one, but at number 7, it's Samantha Fox. And she was a killer bee, as in blonde, British, with big old boobies.
They're huge.
And she actually had a singing career for a while, but her songs were really terrible. But that was okay with me. Because, you know, she had big boobies.
That's all that matters.
Now, number 6 is actually somebody that had talent, but she was also really hot. It was Linda Ronstadt. And she kind of had that girl next door look, kind of like Marianne from Gilligan's Island. And she actually had a really great voice, but I kind of liked her more than her music.
You're a sexist.
Now, number 5 is Daisy Duke herself, Catherine Bach. I mean, why else would I sit through entire episodes of The Dukes of Hazzard? That show was horrible. But every week, it'd be like, just a second, Mom, I'll be right out. I'm watching sports. Yeah, that's it, sports.
You are disgusting!
Number 4 is the girl that replaced Farrah Fawcett on Charlie's Angels. It's Cheryl Ladd. And she was my favorite angel of all time. And God bless the writers of Charlie's Angels, whoever they were, because every single week they would figure out some way to get her either in a pair of micro running shorts or a bikini.
Yeah.
You'd get stuff like Angels in Hawaii or Angels Go to a Health Spa. And what can I say? It was a simpler time. It didn't take that much to turn me on.
That's so pathetic.
Number 3 to me is probably the hottest supermodel of all time. It's Cindy Crawford. In the 80s, she was all over MTV and magazines. You couldn't get away from her if you wanted. And believe me, I didn't wanna. But the weird thing about Cindy Crawford is that she had a mole on her face. And you know, when I think of facial moles, I think of Lemmy. But back then, every dude was just like, oh my God, did you see the mole on her face? It is so hot.
It sure was.
All right, anyway, I don't know if anyone will remember this next one, but at number 2, she was a model on the Price is Right game show, and her name was Diane Parkinson. And basically all she would do is just stand there by a car or a washer dryer. And she was a blonde and had the big old boobies, and that show was on 5 days a week. And every single day, I'd just sit there and go, God, I wish she'd do Playboy. And finally, in the 90s, after about 20-some-odd years of being on that show, she finally did Playboy. And I think she was in her 40s by then, but she was still hot. I mean, so I heard. I didn't see it myself, you know, but I heard things.
Yeah, right.
Now, before I tell you who's number 1 on my list of favorite hot chicks of the 70s and 80s, I have to preface it by saying this. When you're a young boy growing up, all you really care about is toy guns and Hot Wheels. But the closer you get to puberty, there's always that moment when you look at a female form and go, I like that. I'm not sure why I like that, but I like that. And that's what happened the first time I ever saw Raquel Welch.
Woo!
I must have been about 11 or 12, and I saw her picture on the cover of TV Guide. And there were several pictures of her inside of the magazine, and I ended up tearing them out. And I hid him in my room, and all of a sudden my dad starts looking through the TV Guide, and he's like, what happened here? And he looks over at me, and I'm just like, I don't know. And so Raquel Welch, number 1 on my list, and you might say I had a thing for her, even if my voice hadn't changed yet.
Isn't that just sick?
So as you can see, I've always had good taste in women. But I'll tell you what, I met my wife Lindsay about 8 years ago, and I straight up told her, "You are the sexiest woman on earth." And she was like, "That's kind of a big statement." And I said, "Yeah, but I completely mean it." And 8 years later, I still feel exactly the same way. To me, she's the hottest woman ever. And that's the kind of girl you want to marry. Because you're going to have your ups and downs and arguments and all that. But after 8 years, if she still makes your heart go pitter-patter, you got something. And that, my friends, is called chemistry. And I love her with all my heart, so I'm going to play a song for her right now by Flyleaf. It's called Great Love. I'm going to wrap things up now with some odds and ends, and I'll start out with a message I got from John Huff in Canada, who wanted to know if I enjoyed the Grammys. Well, John, you know I always watch the Grammys, so you don't have to. And this year was no exception, and I got to tell you, it was hard to get through. Because like usual, it sucked complete and total ass. But fortunately, I had it recorded, so I fast-forwarded through most of it. But if you didn't see it, you missed a lot of Adele. She had apparently the best album of the year. The best rock song went to David Bowie, who is dead. Katy Perry is now a blonde, and Beyoncé is now pregnant. However, being with child does not make me hate her any less.
Is there anything especially vicious or harsh about that?
Now, I always tell you that there's no hard rock or metal to be found on this show, but this year there actually was, because Metallica played. But of course, they couldn't just let that happen. They had to stick a pop star in there with them, and it was Lady Gaga. And as you might expect, it ended up being just a big debacle. Hetfield's mic wasn't even on through half of the song, and Lady Gaga stumbled around like a bad, awkward stripper. And I would bust on Metallica for being such sellouts, but, you know, they've got enough money now that they don't even have to care. And who can blame them? I mean, if somebody said, hey, we'll put Galactic Cowboys on the Grammys if you play with Alicia Keys, I'd say, okay.
Yeah, you would. Ho-ho!
So good for Metallica. Hopefully they can keep growing their popularity. But as far as the Grammys, once again, bleh.
It was awful.
Okay, so the top 10 playoffs are coming up in March, and so I got to get another one in on this show. And this is from, once again, Greg Skipton. And this is Greg's top 10 random observations. And it starts at number 10 with, I don't really know who Lena Dunham is, but I have decided that I'm fine with that. Yeah, that's that actress who thinks it'd be a good idea to get an abortion so she'll know how it feels. Yeah, that's a quality human being that we should all look up to.
She's sick in the head is what she really is.
Observation number 9 is, if at first you don't succeed, burn a vacation day. Sounds good to me. Number 8 is, I remain hopeful, but I remain skeptical that the yard work will do itself this year. Yeah, I agree, Greg. I hate yard work.
It is torture.
Number 7 is, bacon-sprinkled donuts are everything I thought they would be.
Delicious!
Oh, no kidding. Combining two of my favorite things. Now, if I could just eat one of those while having sex and watching football, my life would be complete.
It's just wonderful stuff!
Number 6 is, Stephen Colbert is as funny as an ingrown toenail. I totally agree, that guy sucks. Number 5 on Greg's list is, I must be an intimidating person because when I'm standing behind someone at the register, they forget how to use their debit card. Well, it could be, Greg, you are a big guy, but it could also be that they're just morons. I always get in the line behind the lady who is using coupons, or perhaps that one person on Earth who still wants to write a check. Number 4 is, after years of eating ranch dressing, I now realize I have never really liked ranch dressing. Really? Oh well, I actually like ranch dressing, but whatever. Number 3 is, they should make a sequel to Sharknado starring Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, and various SJWs in the sequel titled Douchenado. Ah yes, hear, hear. Number 2 is, looking forward to seeing Harriet Tubman's picture on the $20 bill. That way I can walk up to the checkout, 20s in hand, and count them out Major Payne style. One tubba tubba, two tubba tubba.
Yeah, yeah.
And number 1 on Greg Skipton's list of random observations, it's either Netflix or chill, not both. For the love of all that's holy, you can't have both. Yeah! Well, good list, Greg, and thanks for your contribution. And thanks to everyone out there for listening. I hope y'all had a great Valentine's Day. I know I sure did. And I thought I'd end this show with a love song. So I went to my iTunes and I typed in love, and about 500 songs came up that all had the word love in them. And I found one by In This Moment called Mechanical Love. And I've seen them several times, but I've never heard them play it live, and I've never heard this song on the radio. And I don't know why, because God, it's a great song. So I'm going to play it for you, and I hope you enjoy it.
It's not very likely.
If you want to get a hold of me, you know where to do it, on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net. And while you're there, you can also order my CDs, T-shirts, or paintings. And since I'm in a really good mood here lately, if you order a Crunchy or Rockcast T-shirt, I will throw in a Crunchy CD for free. However, if you're outside of the United States, like in Europe or Canada, please add about $15 shipping because postage is frankly outrageous.
Do you understand that? Get it through your hands!
But that's gonna do it for me for now. I will be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.